Well, good morning and welcome to Readers Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jen A. I'm from Colorado and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. By God's grace and mercy, thank you. Today is Thursday, September 26, 2024 at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Gymnastics. We're on page number 49 on the first paragraph.
I'm sorry, Jen. This is Judy, and I am available today.
Oh, okay, perfect, Judy. That's okay. You're the reader. So we're on page 49, first paragraph, beginning with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, and we're going to read through one paragraph, ending with, rather vain of us, wasn't it? Today's readers, Team Thursday, we have Joni C., Jackie D., Judy N., Vanessa G., Katie G., Reva P. will be the newcomer reader, and Ken W. H. will be our second hour moderator. The reference numbers for yesterday, our Wednesday, September 25th, are the following. Our 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,771. Our 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,772. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine, and we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose here. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps, and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
I will now ask Jackie D. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jackie D. from Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supported and decline an outside contribution. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you so much to Joni C. and Jackie D. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we'll stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic in the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for leaders is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we resume our study in the chapter We Agnostics. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 49. We're going to read that first paragraph that begins with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, through one paragraph ending with, rather vain of us, wasn't it? And we're just going to comment on that one paragraph today. I will now ask Judy N. to begin reading. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. I'm Judy N. from Maryland, living in recovery one day at a time. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? Well, if I chose to believe that my human intelligence was the last word, which is how I lived before recovery, my life was a mess. So how intelligent was it when nothing seemed to be working out? And before recovery, I was living on my own pride. I was reactive with my emotions. I looked for perfection, which meant that I was very critical of other people. I had opinions about everything, and I was very, very open to sharing my opinions because I wanted everybody to think I was intelligent, and I did so well in school. But behind it all, there was just fear and isolation and low self-esteem, unable to really connect with people. My whole thought process was just off because there was nothing spiritual about me. I had no connection at that point to a higher power. And I know living today that that is what's made the difference for me. And I can only speak for me, where I don't turn to food anymore and binging anymore. I turn to God. The vanity that I have is now squashed. It's more seeking to be humble and show humility, to be honest, and to be okay with just being a garden variety human being. I can't live by my intelligence. It doesn't work for me. I need a power greater than myself. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Judy N., for getting us started this morning. We do value everyone who is on the line today and your experience. We ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too, so share the air. And if you'll give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can take some readers. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Lisa
Charles
Dan, South Carolina.
Kelly G.
Karen W.
Lisa B.
Okay,
South Carolina.
Let me tell you who I hold. Hold on just a second. I got to think of all the people I just heard. Hold on. My pen is writing. Okay, here we go. Let me tell you who I heard. Lisa B., Charles, Harlan, Kelly G., Katie G. Who else was in there?
Courtney C.
Thanks, Courtney.
Larry K.
Karen W.
Larry. And who was the W?
Karen.
Thanks, Karen. We'll stop there. All right. So we have a pretty awesome lineup. Here we go. Followed by Charles. Let's go, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And I do spell my name L-E-S-A, and, oh, the reader was so on point with me. I could so identify with what she shared. Yes, I had to reread this paragraph a few times just because sometimes I don't always understand it. But I get it now, you know, and the thing is, the big book tells me that I can't tell the true from the false. And how often today, you know, as a recovered person, I can be so agnostic about everything that's going on and worried and fearful. And I had to look up that word spearhead. It's not a word I normally use, but it means a leader of something, you know. So this is saying here that I think that I'm a leader of God's creation, you know, and I would normally laugh at that, but that is a place that I can go to. And I can think that my word, my belief, you know, I have these strong opinions and preconceived ideas, and I don't know that I always am being run by them. And that's when I take out the set aside prayer that I've been using, you know, for many, many years. But today, it just is so much more meaningful to me. God, please set aside for me everything I think I know, that I think I know about myself, about my recovery, my brokenness, these 12 steps, and especially you, that I can have an open mind and a new experience. You know, as a compulsive overeater, I need to have new experiences in my spirit and in my whole being every day, you know, because what worked for me last week or even yesterday is not enough. I have to keep growing, and I need God to get in there. And sometimes it's just seeking him with the desperation of a drowning person. Please speak to me in such a way that I can hear. Help me to get out of the way. Help me to take my hands off of my life and let your word come in. And it always comes in quiet, peace and quiet. And I need that peace and quiet in my spirit to hear that word that comes through. And it comes through the voices, you know, in the rooms, in the meetings, sharing with fellows. And lately I've had to really seek out God's word. And I hear it in the meetings and on speaker podcasts and in prayer and meditation. But this is just now I really get this paragraph, you know. I don't have the last word, and God has the last word, and I pray that he helps me stay out of the way, but I need abstinence and recovery in order to have access to that power. So thank you so much for your service. I pass.
Thank you, L-E-S-A. That's Lisa B. from South Carolina. Up next, we have Charles. Charles, go right ahead.
Thank you, Mama Bear, and thank you for your service. So I'm a overly vain, intelligent believer that is the most agnostic and atheistic, if that's even a word, person in the world. It's been my experience that, you know, I ain't judging, but yeah, I am judging, that believers are the most atheist people in the world. Oh, I already know God. I don't need to set aside nothing. Yeah, and that was me. And so once I realized that was me, I seen myself in this paragraph. I surrender. I'm good friends with atheists. I know a lot of atheists that's more spiritual than bishops, than all that stuff. And, you know, when we went through this a few times before, maybe even the last time, when I hear atheists share, I'm like, yo, I can't wait to kill this person when I see them at their birthday party. Real shit. Because if I'm not transparent with my thoughts, my evil thoughts, they're going to carry me down below the dirt, below the middle of the center of the earth. And today I can say I love everybody, and I can say this too, with no conviction. I don't like you enough to hate you. I treat everybody equal. Now, I do got some sponsees that get on my nerves, but they trigger me to recover and to do some 10 steps. I don't know how much 10 steps I need to do, but I know that I'm a vain believer that's so atheist and agnostic, and I'm worried about, why the hell am I worried about what you doing, who's sharing when, what, who's whatever. You know what? I need to set that aside, right? Like we agnostics talks about, we lay aside prejudice. I need to lay aside my vainness, lay aside my fears, you know, lay aside my resentments. Don't lay them, do them first, and then in the process, I can lay them aside. So I'm going to leave a couple of seconds on the clock for the still sick and suffering compulsive overeater. And with that, I pack.
Thanks, Charles H. from New York. Up next, we have Harlan. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, excuse me, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I bet I'm not alone here, but when I was a little boy, amidst other things that people told me, what they said to me was, if you just exercise your willpower, if you had discipline, you wouldn't be so fat. You know, if you would just bear down and push yourself away from the table, you can do anything you want. And we are products. I am a product of Western culture. And the Western culture says that we can do anything. We read The Little Engine That Could when we're little children. And The Little Engine That Could, you guys have heard me talk about this a lot, but The Little Engine That Could, he says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, and he eventually gets up the hill. Well, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the grave. I found out that I indeed cannot. No matter how disciplined I am, no matter how much willpower I can throw at this disease, my efforts are absolutely futile when it comes to stopping the waves of the ocean. I can't do it. I can stand there and order those waves to go back. I can physically block as many as I can, but they are going to keep coming, and they will keep coming after I'm gone. I have an illness that only a spiritual experience will conquer. Now, I've never had a spiritual experience, but I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps. I am in areas of my life today that my human intelligence never could have navigated me into. I'm alive. Let's start there. I'm going to walk 3 miles in just a minute or two after my share. I'm going to get up and get out of this house, and I'm going to go walk 3 miles. And I have every confidence that I'm going to finish. Could I have done that myself? Absolutely not. I've had 4 joint replacements. I've weighed 700 pounds. There was a period of my life when I was in my 20s, I couldn't walk 30 feet. God did for me and continues to do for me what I cannot do for myself. My job is to do what I can do for myself. I'm healthy relatively. I own my house. I own my car. I have a business. It's microscopic, but it's successful. My bills are paid. Could I have done that? Absolutely not. I have a good program and friends. Could I have done that? Absolutely not. No way I could have done that. God does for me what I cannot do for myself. Jen, thanks for your service. Thanks, everybody, for coming today. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure, Harlan. Thanks so much for your share. And up next, we have Kelly G, followed by Katie G. Hey, Kelly.
Thanks so much, Jen. Kelly G, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. You know, as I'm looking outside the window, we're going to get a hurricane. And it is so windy and it is so rainy and it woke me up this morning. But it just, you know, this weather reminds me how powerless I am, that I can't hold up my hand and make it all stop. It is so much greater than me. And before recovery, the only thing that existed was my finite self. That was my world. If something happened, it was because of me. If something didn't happen, it was because of me. If something, some accolade, some award, whatever the case is, it was because of me. And what a limited way to live, right? I don't want finite. Today, let's say before rather, it only existed if I could touch it, feel it, smell it. I had to have a material to know that it really existed. And today, my world is solely generated by what I can't see. That is what controls every aspect of my life. And to think that I had to live in such a narrow vision and lens is unbelievable. Like, I wish I could go back and gain more time living on that spiritual plane, because it is so much more vast and broad. And I didn't know what I didn't know. All I knew was my finite self. And I'm so grateful that there's a bigger world out there that I can't see, but I can feel. And I see the proof, and I love not being able to take credit for it. What an exhausting way to live, to know that I am the reason that things happen or don't happen. I don't want that responsibility, and I never really had it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Kelly G from Florida. Be safe. Up next is Katie G. Go ahead, Katie.
Thanks, Jen, for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Katie G, recovered in Boston. I'm so grateful for this paragraph. Vain is that excessively high opinion of my appearance, abilities, and worth. And, you know, my first memory is feeling not good enough. And I tried to overcome that fear that I wasn't good enough by having a high opinion of or presenting my appearances, abilities, and worth. And it wasn't okay to not know the answer. And I worshiped my ego. I worshiped my mind. And the saddest part about that fear of not being good enough is it underestimates God. So what do I mean by that? So ever since I was a little girl, I received a message. I internalized a message that I was too stupid to handle math or science. So I went with that. When I got to college, I decided even though I wanted to be a psychology major, I had to be a sociology and women's studies major because that was easier and I couldn't handle the math. When I graduated from college, I thought I was too stupid to do a master's degree program because of the GREs, because I couldn't do math and science. So instead, I got a job that I got fired from, right? These are the things that I make decisions based on self, which later place me in a position to be hurt. And it wasn't until I got fired from another job, which I got, I decided I should be a manager. Why? Because I'm afraid I'm not good enough. Why? Because I think that I need to meet him, fall in love, and have kids. And I was so scared that I wasn't going to get that I decided I had to be a manager. Now, this is me. I'm a controlaholic, right? I'm a please love me-aholic. So I get a job as a manager. I got fired 4 times. I can't even manage my own life. I strangle the life of other people. And it wasn't until I got fired from that 4th job and I was applying for a 5th job that my father said to me, my earthly father said to me, why don't you see what else is out there? I have such a narrow mind and I'm working on a 4-step again, and I see the people in my life that I have plowed down because I thought they needed to behave in a certain way. And why am I sharing all my thinking? because my mind is the problem. The main problem of this disease is in my mind. It tells me lies that I believe. It tells me I'm not good enough, and therefore, if you're doing something in your life that I think I need to do, well, that's evidence that you're better than me, and I need to condemn you and bring you down and judge you because I'm not good enough. And thanks be to God, I can live a life free today, and I can trust God that the only day I need to know about is today. God, help me be your agent today. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Not my head, but God's will, not mine, be done. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Katie G. All right. Up next, we're going to have Courtney C. followed by Larry G. Good morning, Courtney.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to assume I can be heard.
Yes, you can. Sorry, I had to unmute
perfect.
Again. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. This is, my name's Courtney. I go by CC as well, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I haven't been on this meeting in so long. It's nice to hear some familiar voices. I live in Florida, and this meeting's dope. Like, I've gotten so much. I've written so many notes in my book already. So I just want to share, you know, like, for me, this paragraph is really about the choice that I make of what I'm going to believe. And I have a choice today. You know, when I was a child, when I was coming up, I wasn't really given a choice. I was given a certain dogmatic belief system and told that, like, there was no choice, basically, that this is what I had to believe or I was going to go to hell. So, you know, when I got old enough to, you know, realize that I did have a choice, I really didn't, I still had like the residual effects of that kind of an upbringing. And so my only choice was not that. So I became atheist, but it was really still not a choice. It was just a reaction to the control that was being exerted on me by my parents. You know, I wasn't freely choosing still. I was just rejecting what I was given. And that is actually how I came into recovery, was, you know, still within the confines of the very limited, like, you know, set of beliefs that I was kind of born into. And I'm just so grateful. I mean, how I feel like we're so lucky to be given this spiritual path where we're actually given totally free choice to choose a belief system that works for us. And basically all they're saying is that there's certain principles that we have found that enable us to stay sober. And we follow these principles, but as far as your belief system goes, like, that is entirely up to the individual. And, you know, for me, like, the openness in this paragraph is really saying, you know, before we, you know, became recovered, before we got into recovery, we chose to believe that, you know, we were God, basically. And in recovery, we choose to believe instead that we are agents of God. And for me, like, that basically means, am I going to choose conventional knowledge? Am I going to choose, as someone else said, like, what I can see, or am I going to choose, like, mystic, ultimate truth, ultimate knowledge, what I cannot see, and pursue that, that there's something going on behind this, like, physical world that involves faith. It very much involves faith, which is beautiful, right? Because that's the principle of the next step. So what a wonderful segue, you know.
Time, please.
And thank you. I pass.
Awesome. Thanks so much, CC. Courtney C., appreciate you this morning. Larry G., you're up next, followed by Karen W.
Hey, Jen, I don't know if you heard Larry G. and Larry K. I don't know. Maybe Larry G.'s out there.
Oh, you know what I did, Larry? I put Harlan's initial next to your name when I was writing. Thank you.
Hey, anytime you equate me with, yeah, I like to be equated with.
Go
Harlan.
Right ahead.
That's okay, I'll take that. Thanks, Jen, for your service. I'm Larry K., a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, when I read this paragraph, I think of, you know, when I was doing a residency way back when, and I'm sure it would come as, you know, little surprise. My field tends to be very, you know, cerebral. We take ourselves very seriously, right? I'm a very important man, don't you know? And we focus predominantly on, you know, different treatment modalities and top-down therapeutic approaches and all this stuff. And I think it's good. I think there's nothing wrong with that. The intellectualization. I was participating in a talk yesterday where there was three speakers on emotional sobriety. There wasn't a lot of talk about God, but there was a lot of information. And I think we can over-intellectualize. And the reason I bring all this up is because, you know, one of the questions that came out in the Q&A was, why, Larry, do you think that the rates of recovery are so low in the 12-step rooms? I don't think they're particularly low in this particular room, but overall they're pretty low. We 1 in 10 that walk in the room don't recover. It's less than that. And they asked, why is that? And I thought about it, and I said, it's really the over-analysis, the over-intellectualization of this process. And, you know, the thing about it is there's nothing inherently wrong with intellectually understanding. Nothing wrong at all. Sometimes we use intellectual analysis to avoid experiencing or acknowledging painful or difficult feelings. That's the problem. And so we try as hard as we can to work through what we refuse to acknowledge or experience. I could no longer deny that there were people in my midst that were recovering from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body by having a spiritual awakening, perhaps a spiritual experience, as a result of the implementation of these steps. They were brought into a relationship with power that I call God. You know, I use the analogy, you can reduce a movie. You see a movie, you know, you can read the synopsis on Wikipedia. That's one way to learn about a movie. Or you can watch and experience the movie. And it may be difficult to follow. It may be foreign. It may be in a different language. It may be cerebral. But the bottom line is you are having the experience. You're not just reading about it. Conversely, when we're here, when we come, we show up to this meeting, you can come here and be entertained, angry, resentful, whatever. You can do everything but work the program of action. You're not in the program, Larry, when you're doing that. We have to work these steps. We have to put our intellectualization down. We have to experience this for ourselves. That makes all the difference in the world. With that, I pass. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Larry K. All right, up next we have Karen W., and then we'll take another list of names. Karen, go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Karen W. from Texas. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? Yes, I was a mess filled with trauma and drama, and I thought it was my way or the highway. But through the years, you know, I've got recovery today, and I've, you know, I had a hole in my soul that I was stuffing with food because I was in so much pain, anxiety, the trauma, not knowing which way to turn, and just all the uncertainties. I didn't know that there was a higher power out there, that all I had to do was ask for his help or her help or its help and, you know, use the other tools of listening to everyone share, because God speaks through each one of you to write on paper what's going on with myself, and that, you know, the pen seems to take control and everything just comes out on paper, which is amazing. And, you know, also picking up the phone when I don't want to pick up the phone and sharing with someone what's going on with me releases all that pain and whatever out into the universe, and it's gone. You know, I'm camping right now and the coyotes are hollering or howling rather, and God's all over me. And for all the newcomers out there, keep coming back. You know, it might not happen today, this week, or next month, or next year, but it will happen. And you'll come to have faith and grow and change. Everything changes. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
That's Karen W. from Texas. All right. Well, we're having an awesome meeting. We're in the big book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 49. We're reading that first paragraph and commenting on that first paragraph only. It starts with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, we're reading through that paragraph ending with, rather vain of us, wasn't it? So we'll go ahead and take another list of names. Your first name, the first initial of your last name, one at a time. Go right ahead.
Rivka R.
Rivka.
Lisa B.
Lisa B.
Nicole S.
Nicole S.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Hello.
Anyone else want to join in? Hi, who's this?
My name is Maria. I'm new to the meeting.
Wonderful, Maria. What's the first initial of your last name? I'll put you in after Roz.
I put Maria N-Y.
N-Y. Perfect, Maria. Thanks. If you'll press star 1 to mute, we're going to go ahead and start at the top of the list. I'll tell you who I wrote down. I have Rivka R, Lisa BT, Nicole S, Roz G, and Maria NY. We'll go ahead and start with Rivka. Good morning, Rivka.
Good morning, Jen. Thanks so much for your service. It's Rivka R, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And yeah, this paragraph, it sent me this morning to the dictionary because there was also like a lot of words that I didn't really understand. And it also is so powerful because I realize it gave me my mission. So it says, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we think we are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So Alpha and Omega, it also in the dictionary, it says the most important feature. So what is this telling me? Like, it's telling me why I'm here. I'm here to be an intelligent agent of God's ever-advancing creation. And an agent is and according to the dictionary, is a special representative, an instrument by which a guiding intelligence achieves a result. An intelligent is having the power of reflection or reason, well adapted to its purpose, reflecting good judgment and wise, sound thought. Now, that was so not me. I mean, in the throes of the addiction, completely it obliterated my mission of being a representative of God in this world. You know, it was all about me and my comfort and bowing down to the food god and doing crazy things with food, stuffing myself from one store to the next, and totally devaluing myself, my life, and others. I couldn't see. I certainly, you know, did not have the power of reflection or reason, and I was not well adapted to my purpose. And to have recovery today and to see clearly the true from the false and to just be in a different place. I also feel like, oh God, getting choked up. That's like, thank you God, and thank you everyone for being here. And on this journey, and this incredible journey of being able to be intelligent agents of God's ever advancing creation. So thank you so much, and God pass.
Thank you so much, Rivka R. Up next, we'll have Lisa BT, followed by Nicole S. And if you give us your location when you get up to pitch, people can find you then on the member list. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for your service. This is Lisa BT, grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Guelph, Ontario, near Toronto. I get so tripped up by that word intelligence because I have, I think it's partly the way, starting out in school, what grades do you get, are you going to pass the grade to the next grade, that sort of thing. The idea for me was always a kind of intelligence means I'm good in school. And it's taken a long, long time. I'm in my late 60s now, to kind of start adopting a different word for myself. And that word is discernment. I find that for me, that kind of, I can put aside all that baggage I have around the word intelligence, and which usually ends up being all about me, right? I'm an intelligent and then secondarily agent, right? I'll say the prayer of St. Francis and kind of feel like, well, I don't want to be a channel, I want to be like the best channel or an intelligent channel, and that keeps getting in my way. And so the word discernment for me just seems for me to put me in this more humble position of how can I best serve thee? Right? Please show me what it is that I can do and be. And it has also opened a surprising channel within me, which is also that I am loved. I don't have to be smart or intelligent or do good things or do the right things because I don't have. That's not what God is asking of me, as I understand it now. And that has been perhaps the most freeing thing of all. I can just show up and know that I'm already deeply, deeply loved. And I know for me where I really recognized a change was around the seventh step prayer. I used to barely be able to get out the word bad, right? Good and bad. I would just kind of find myself shriveling up and kind of feeling shame. And now I can say that prayer. I offer myself to thee, good and bad. I'm just a human. I don't even know what those words even mean anymore. It doesn't even matter. But I am deeply loved, and that's been the greatest gift of all. And it's really come more through this program than any of the other ways that I have engaged in spirituality in my life. It's really the 12 steps, the message is to me one of the most profound spiritualities I've found anywhere. And with that, I'll pass.
Time, please. Oh, perfect. Thank you so much, Lisa BT from Ontario, Canada. Up next, we have Nicole S., followed by Roz G.
Hi, this is Nicole S. from Colorado. Thank you so much for your service, Jen. And I was just thinking with that spearhead, when I was younger, I went on a mission trip to Papua New Guinea, and I brought home a spear from the natives had made. And I was just thinking, the spearhead, if you think of the tip, that's what, that's what will penetrate and go in. But if you just had a tip on its own, it's pointless. You're not going to be able to, hunt or anything with just that tip. And if I'm the spearhead of God's ever advancing creation, that means that the shaft and the person who's using the spear behind it, giving it power. And so when I'm just that tip, and I'm just trying to, make things happen, and I'm thinking I'm, ever intelligent, and I'm the actor that's constantly jumping in and telling the director what to do and trying to take charge and arrange everybody. It's in my mind, it's just this a silly picture. Like, what is a tip going to do without power behind it and without the shaft? And so, you know, this is, I'm that tip. And when I'm powered by God behind me and I'm just playing that part, I can be his intelligent agent and I can actually make a difference. And it's not based on me and what I'm doing. And not only can I, you know, make a difference and serve, but I can have the power to, you know, to keep the food down, to remain in the steps, work in the steps, and to remain recovered. So I'm really grateful for this this paragraph, for this program, and just for this wonderful fellowship. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Nicole S. from Colorado. Up next, we have Roz G., followed by Maria N.Y. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you for your service and everyone else's service. I'm Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And the older I get in human age, and, you know, the more I work in my programs, the less control I have, the less I see and realize the control that I have. I have no control. And in my past, I thought that I was Alpha and Omega, and that my word, and that when, you know, I played God, I tried to, you know, make the results happen. And when the results that I wanted didn't happen, I blamed myself or others. Early on in my life, I blamed others. I blamed myself. And today, if I simply take the steps that God asks me to take, then I leave the results to God. And if I take a sincere position and take sincere actions without my ego involved, without me wanting to control the results involved, then I know that God's will has been done. By hobby, I'm a master gardener. I love to plant gardens, and I plant the seeds. I nurture the soil. I prepare the soil. I make my own compost, and I wait for the weather patterns, and do research on what will grow when. And this a long time ago, and I used to have a big ego, the vain part, vain. I still have a big ego, but try not to practice it as much. But, you know, my vanity was I made those things grow, and I posted them all over the internet, and I took credit for it all. And that's so arrogant, because I don't do any of it. God does it. I take the action, and God's in the results. Same with my life, same with compulsive overeating and other aspects of my life. When I give myself to God in the morning, I'm planting a seed, and I plant it, and I ask God to grow it, and I ask God to show me what I need to do to water, to grow, and to fertilize, to be able to have a branches of health. And today, at 61 years old, I'm a lot healthier and wiser than I was when I was 30. But I must give the credit and be, like it says, an intelligent agent, spearhead of God, versus than Roz. Because when I do that, I get myself into trouble. And today I'm learning to keep my mouth shut more, to stand back and observe. And when God gives me the wisdom, or, you know, I ask God, you know, what's the courage to change this situation versus accepting what I can't, things turn out so much better. And my life works today. And every day there's something that bothers me, or something that I'm afraid of, because I am a human and I have the 10th step to be able to work through all of it. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Up next, we have Maria N.Y. Good morning, Maria. Where are you calling from today? Maria, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Maria N.Y. Star 1, and then you can unmute and speak with us. Okay. Well, Maria, if you get back on, let me know. Up next,
my name is...
There you are.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry, I'm new to phone chat.
Yeah.
So,
go right ahead. You have 3 minutes to share on what was read. Go right ahead, Maria.
Okay. I guess some would say I'm fairly new to the program, although I've been... Oh, my name is Maria. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. I guess people would say I'm fairly new to the program. I heard a couple of speakers from A Vision for You over the past week on some of the Zoom meetings. The thing that I get now, yes, I had trouble with step 1, 2, and 3, and I did it by myself, but I took all the information I can from other people and Zoom meetings. So I just want to make a couple of quotes about how I came to believe in a higher power. And that is, first of all, I read the third step prayer every morning and the seventh step prayer every night. And I read as if, and people have told me this, just read as if. And it will come to you. And I do feel easier and more secure during the day than I've ever been before. I'm not talking about God as I was brought up as a Catholic. I'm talking about just feeling it. And then I was told that... where is the other? The HP is when it happens easily and it feels right. And that's when you know that he or she is practicing through you. And also that there was one more thing I wanted to bring up, but it has to do with this. Oh, yeah, it was in the book. I liked on page 50. Where it says, we miss the reality and the beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. And I feel like I'm a piece of a puzzle, and I want to be part of that puzzle in bringing the steps and other and the big book to other people. Wherever I go, I want to practice it. And that's all I have to say. I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Maria N.Y. Glad you're new to our meeting. There is a newcomers portion. So after we end this meeting, we start a second one, but in between, we do welcome newcomers. So stick around. We'd love to get your phone number and welcome you and make calls out to you. All right, folks, well, guess what? That's it. Thanks to everyone who shared. Please join us for the second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Let me go ahead and give you the share ID for today's meeting. Grab a pen and paper. Here you go. The share ID for Thursday, September 26th, 7 a.m. recorded meeting, Eastern Standard Time, is 21,778. That's 21778. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vanessa G. please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, everybody who made this meeting possible. This is Vanessa G. I'm recovered in New Mexico and hopefully a bit of a spearhead. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.